I was just thinking about this term post-apocalyptic, and it was interesting. You know the Kevin Costner movie, The Postman?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Postman.
Literally a post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah. The world after man.
That's quite funny, isn't it?
That's probably what it'll look like. Nuclear winter and radiated skies. Water you can't drink. It's pretty much where we're headed.
Yeah. To a degree is what we've got already. Just thinking about this, if you wanted to, like, go and purchase some clean food, you better look frickin' hard, man.
Yeah. It's not, well, I mean, it's clean because it's been soaked in ammonia or radiated when crossing the border to keep it, you know, fresh longer. Remember in, I don't know if you've seen it, but 28 Days Later?
Yeah,
you go
to
a grocery store, all the food is rotted except for the apples, and one of the guys says, ooh, I love radiation.
No, he goes, irradiated.
Yeah, there you go. Geez, you're better at movie quotes than I am.
I can fire
you, Vinny. Might have to get you on the side cube.
Oh, I can recite lots and lots and lots of stuff from films, comedy acts, and things like that. It's a talent I had from a really young age as a child. I was able to recite certain films back to back.
Do you have ADHD or Asperger's or something? I find that I'm kind of on the Asperger-y spectrum. I have a lot of the symptoms. And that's kind of, like we were saying, people being close to machines. I mean, people who tend to not be very sociable, like people on that autism spectrum, are better at machines. I mean, I'd rather interact with most people via the internet than in person. And it's not because I wasn't necessarily raised with it. I mean, the internet came out when I was already in high school, you know, basically when we first got on the net. So, you know, but I remember reading a lot of people in Silicon Valley were having kids with autism because all those people with the same predilection in their DNA were getting together, and it was creating much more concentrated versions of that. And it really is sort of a new race that just can deal with the machines better for some reason.
Yeah. Either that or they all really, really, really believe in vaccines.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate truth is I got every vaccine in the textbook. My dad was in the military, so we had the vaccine schedule. You know, when I was in Guam where they don't fluoridate the water, we had to put fluoride pills in our mouth so that we could have that fluoride. So I actually had to suck on fluoride pills as a child. Maybe that explains some of my weirdness. I don't know.
Well, you know, this is the other thing, when you're damaged when you're young, especially if you've experienced some kind of brain trauma or something like that, the person you become will never be the person you could have become had those things not happened to you. And how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was always wondering what I'd be like if my father wasn't violent, or if I never got arrested, or if all my bosses hadn't been psychopaths or something like that. You know, it'd be interesting what kind of a person I'd turn into, but he's gone. Whoever that person might have been is not here anymore. I'm all that's left.
Wouldn't be hosting this awesome show, so maybe it's all for a reason.
Well, I don't know. I think when people think fatalistically like that, like, oh, it's all for a reason, you can only look at that in retrospect. You can never say all of this stuff is going to happen to me for a reason. I'm going to get to that point, which makes me think that people are attempting to reconcile things by saying that it's all for a reason when there really might not be one at all.
I think that's if you're more optimistic and saying, well, the good will come. I'm not. I'm pessimistic. And I say it's just going to get worse from here on out. But, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for previous, you know, whatever hardships or good chips in my life. And
I'm kind of dualistic. I think it's all going to get better and worse at the same time.
Split apart. We'll be living in like an island that's safe from everything. But meanwhile, the New World Order rules everything else.
Yeah, that are a whole bunch of people are just going to get even more retarded, and the rest of the people are going to become a lot smarter and figure stuff out faster, you know? And those will be the like people you hang out with. Yeah, yeah. It's a scary concept, and to think about, you know, who you would have been had certain things not happened to you. And this comes back into, you mentioned the time traveler. You ever seen those movies where the person goes back in time and they change one tiny little thing and then they come back and everything's different?
Surely.
Yeah, Butterfly Effect was one. to use that. Then it was, you know, it's one of those paradoxes, though. Like, would it be a different universe? There's that theory that there's, like, an unlimited potential, you know, alternatives going on, like, in the future. So, you know, so many minutes, hours, years, decades into the future, there's more and more potential possibilities. You could quit your job today and, you know, go sell, you know, ice cream on the street or something, and that's Vinny, you know, 10 years from now as an ice cream vendor. You'd never really know. Like, there's so many possibilities, and until one happens, you know, that kind of sets it into stone. I mean, the other day I was riding my bike, I almost got killed by a truck, and I was just contemplating that. Like, I could have been in some other universe. I'm dead right now. You know, my family's grieving over me or whatever. And that could have happened so many times in the past, and it could happen many more times in the future, I'm sure. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe my pessimistic view, I always turn to the dark side. But, yeah, when I try not to contemplate too many alternatives.
Have you ever seen the movie The One with Jet Li?
Huh? Yeah, he kills his parallel selves to make himself stronger, something like that.
Yeah, there's like 1,000 parallel universes, and this dude figures out a way to travel in between them. And what he finds is that if he kills himself in another universe, that person's power gets equally divided amongst all the remaining hims in all the different universes. So he wants to kill all of himself in all the parallel universes so that he'll be the one and he'll be all-powerful. It's quite an interesting concept. Yeah. And yeah. and they're all living these different lives with different careers and different levels of skill sets and all of these tiny little things that made somebody who they are in the different parallel universes. That thing didn't happen, and instead another thing happened. Like you were talking about, like, you could have been killed in front of that, and in some of these parallel universes, one of those people actually dies. Or is already dead and things of this nature. So I was just wondering about this. And what is the point, really, though, at wondering about those other existences that you may or may not have? As far as I'm concerned, there's really only one existence for me to experience subjectively, and that's this one.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, I think there's a point in, you know, you being able to see out of one person and being in individual, and then at the same time there's a point in going through the collective experience and changing as one organism or one species, and so they have their individual, I guess, readouts with that kind of data, to again use the word sync, I guess, you in the right direction if you choose to go down that path.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, about how when you're doing what you believe to be right, and nobody can tell you what's right, and only you can feel it, but you can't really think it or intellectualize it. There really is a feeling here. Am I doing what's right? Is this correct? And it seems that when you follow that instinct, suddenly roadblocks in your life get pushed out of the way. But they don't get pushed out of the way immediately when you want them to disappear. They only disappear when you absolutely need them to. Like if you can't pay your rent one week or something like that, suddenly the day before your rent has to get paid, somebody will just turn up with a couple of $100 for you for some reason.
Yeah, I think we somehow we push those things into the unconscious and we're worried about them or we need them to happen. And so that's when you really take the reins. And in one day you'll do a bunch of things successfully and things will turn out your way. Well, you probably just focused something in the light of your mind or whatever to correspond directly with doing these things successfully, just like older magical or mystical systems are obsessed with doing. Aleister Crowley's idea of the will, I think, fits really well here, the idea that instead of what most people kind of savagely misinterpreted as do whatever you want, is much more validly interpreted as do exactly what you're here for and don't waste any time getting to know various systems and experiences or whatever to show you where you're going and equate you with more paths. And that's what he was doing magically. I didn't know the man. I don't know whether morally he was one to be followed, but this philosophy of take the reins and be responsible for the thing outside of all kind of other limitations so that you can get things done and can quite literally, in his case, climb mountains or learn various systems of yoga or whatever. That's a really interesting point, you know?
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. If you're currently doing a job that you don't like, don't just go get another job that you know you won't like, just so that you can have a 6 months of difference? Quit them all, and figure out what you really want out of this life, and start doing that. You know, that's what I did, and as far as I know, the many, many people that I've spoken to on this radio show, that's basically what they've all done. You have to let go of what you consciously think you need, you know, like you need a roof over your head, you need money supply, financial security, that kind of thing. All of doing all that your entire life makes you really fracking unhappy, right? And yeah. And it's only once you let go of all that and you realize, hey, it doesn't actually matter. I'm not doing what I'm meant to be doing. I'm not who I'm supposed to be. That's the reason why I feel like crap. Not because my job isn't satisfying. It's because my life isn't satisfying. And more to the point, nobody else made me live this life. I'm doing it all to myself.
Yeah, exactly. I think people get confused when they start chasing down a bunch of repeatedly approved or suggested totems, as opposed to exploring long enough in their life to get a sense of direction or what they prefer, or what that would make them happy. And those totems have been around forever. And, you know, like I was saying before, kind of promoted by the media, and it hasn't really changed. You know, they might change the bottle or the look of the package of the cigarette or just whatever, but it's what people keep telling themselves they need. And obviously these ideas I keep bringing up about mystery or adventure or magic aren't going to come true if you're going back and forth between my job sucks, so I need to get messed up, or I need to go, you know, party and forget everything that happened today. And then that process just repeats itself, and somewhere along the line you're like paying rent or making parents happy or something like that with the physical things you've accomplished. But it seems like a lot of people are getting lost up in paying for college, or getting lost up in one specific field that they know they can accomplish in college, as opposed to being well-rounded. And at that age, I see a decline, because then people just start wanting to get messed up and paying rent. Or on the complete opposite side, you know, having kids or something, which can all be very positive, life-changing experiences, but it's still the daily routine that humans have been doing for however so long. So it's these new ideas we want to embrace in hope to change. If we don't want to change, then the kind of virtual kingdom we've built for so many reasons, I think everyone listening now is aware of, will come, you know, toppling down in some ways. But there are easy and clear paths to get to a better sort of circulatory system for the whole species ideas and energy.
Well, I think it's really about not accepting mediocrity, you know? If you're really good at something, you know you're really good at something. Basically, I've met many talented people who never, ever, ever exploit their talents and or make a living out of it. And they're really depressed, you know, like they're on medication. Like my friend Jared, for example, he's a really talented blues guitarist, and he's on medication and he's depressed. And I said to him, bro, if you were in front of a crowd of 10,000 screaming fans playing your guitar, would you need that medication anymore? See, okay. The reason why you're not feeling good about yourself is because you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. You're not fulfilling your potential. You're simply stagnant, and your body and your mind are telling you that there's something wrong, and you can't ignore it. You have to fulfill it.
It's like the mythologist Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. You know, you have to find that thing that makes you happy or that you want to do. And, you know, I hope that's obviously what you're doing, and that's what we're trying to do with our projects. I know Frank's really trying to push things really hard to get it to work. I mean, it's very hard to have an alternative, you know, interest and then be able to live and focus on that interest and not have to waste all your time at like a low-paying, high hourly job where, you know, you just kind of, you want to drink a beer and watch the game after work instead of research and, you know, develop your, you know, own abilities, meditate or anything. And that's, like I said, it's one of those things we're kind of all here to evolve consciousness. And some of us do that, obviously, and some of us don't. And it really doesn't take everyone, like I said earlier, with people inventing things at synchronous times at the same time. I mean, we're all obviously tapped into some kind of communal ebb and flow of consciousness. And, you know, it's kind of sad that you could look at your friends and family and think, well, you know, ignorance is bliss. You know, I guess that football game's really exciting, but look out your window, man. You know, see what's going on. And, you know, you can't just be sad that not everyone wants to look around at things, you know, like we do, or you kind of just have to let them do what they want while you do what you want. And hopefully, you know, everything is evolving towards the light in the end.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, with musicians and a lot of different kinds of artists, it's easy, even among really creative and eccentric people, for them to want to fall into conversations that'll make that individual feel, you know, depressed or like it's redundant or boring. And pretty soon you feel like you can't, I guess, reach out to anyone. And if you're not researching a lot of stuff and you're just an artist or someone who's trying to work out creative energies that are naturally in you, and you keep coming up against this muck of the same social circles and the same job that, you know, may insist that you, you know, get screwed up after it or whatever because of the nature of the people you deal with who are screwed up during it or something like that. It's, I don't know, it's a vicious bunch of cycles going on.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. Like the Tour de France.